Titus 1 through 3. 3, 1 through 3.
Remind people to be submissive to their magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work, to slander or abuse or speak evil of no one, to avoid being contentious, to be forbearing, yielding, gentle, and conciliatory, and to show unqualified courtesy toward everybody. For we also were once thoughtless and senseless, obstinate and disobedient, deluded and misled. We too were once slaves to all sorts of cravings and pleasures, wasting our days in malice and jealousy and envy, hateful, hated, detestable, and hating one another.
Thank you very much. Here we are in the book of Titus. Who is Titus? Who is Titus? This is a review. Who is Titus? Remember who Titus is? Chuck, you remember who Titus is?
Yeah, Titus is a preacher.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he was. He's kind of like Timothy, but he's not Timothy. He's older than Timothy. He's older than Timothy.
He's more brave than Timothy. He's bold.
And Paul's writing to give him instructions.
Giving him instructions to do what? Cindy, where is his mission? Where's his mission field? Roger, where's his mission field? Do you remember? Titus' mission field.
Ephesus?
Crete. The island of Crete. All Cretans are what? Liars and thieves and con artists and everything. That's what Paul said later on. Now he's going to go into a very strong mission field where the man has got a lot of challenges, and not only does he have challenges with these immoral people, he's supposed to go build strong churches in Crete. That was his purpose. And what kind of obstacles does he have there besides immorality and debauchery? What's some another? You remember, Megan?
The money or the self-governing issue?
What was the religious opposition besides paganism?
The Jews.
The Jews were fighting him and giving him all kinds of trouble, and they would not... They tried to kill Paul several times. They did kill Paul once, didn't they? They stoned him to death. And Paul said, a new man, whether in the body, out of the body, ascended into the third heaven. Instead of being seven heavens like Muhammad said, there's actually three heavens according to the Bible, and we can prove that with science. Okay? That's good. Science, medicine, and the Bible, archaeology, all this agrees. It's very beautiful. You go study these things, and it'll just blow you away. The validity of the Bible from the medical science standpoint. Even the virgin birth, which people deny. The virgin birth is possible. Why? What's the reason why the virgin birth is possible, Roger? Why is the virgin birth possible?
Are we talking physiologically?
I'm talking medically.
Medically?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
in Genesis 3:15. That the child that is born into this world, the Messiah, will be a seed of woman, not man. He will not have man's blood in him. He will have God's blood in him. Because all of the children that are born into the world have the father's blood, not the mother's blood. The father's blood is in it. Not one drop of the woman's blood ever goes in the child. And the infection of sin is through the father, not the mother. The mother cannot pass on the sin nature. Your children? Did they ever get in trouble, brother?
It's my fault.
It's your fault because you gave it. She did not give them the sin nature. She may be a sinner, but she didn't give them the sin nature. And that's how Jesus could be born of a virgin. Simple as that. This is real simple now. You go study. If you want to really study that, read a book called The Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. DeHaan. It's in that book, in that library back there. Tells you all about it. Now we're going to start, we're talking about slavery to sin. We're all slaves to sin. A lot of people say that I want to do my own thing, don't they? I want to do my own thing. But are they really doing their own thing? No. They're doing Satan's thing. We have two masters in this world. We either have Satan or we have God as our master. One or the other. There isn't any in-between ground. Just one or the other. Now let's go back and we'll look at Titus 3:3. And you've got your book. and I'm sorry you don't have it. It says in here, amen. Gar, pote, kai, hemes, ano etoi, apethes, planomenoi, du leontes, epithemios, kai, hedones, poikilais, en kakia, kai, phothrono, dianotes, stigetoi, musuntos, or musuntes, that is, allelus. Let's look at this first word here. Cindy, conjugate that verb for me, would you? Amen. Okay, imperfect. Indicative active. Imperfect tense. What does the imperfect tense tell us, Chuck?
I haven't the famous.
The command.
Imperfect, not imperative.
Oh,
imperfect. Imperfect, oh, imperfect tense. Continuous action, kept on being. That's the idea. Now, if we do the gospel according to Mark, we're going to have a lot of imperfect tenses in Mark, because Mark loved the imperfect tense. Right here now, Paul is using the imperfect tense. For, it starts out with for, a conjunction or casual particle. Page 1190 in A.T. Robertson's Greek Grammar, and page 75 in the Analytical Greek Grammar, which our Analytical Greek Lexicon, what that I told you about. For we kept on being. We continue to be. We stayed this way. When we were born, we were born in sin because of our Father's blood. And we kept on being in sin. And remember, I can't draw on a blackboard here because I don't have a blackboard or whiteboard or anything like that. But just imagine a circle split in three places, spirit, soul, and body. When we're born with a spirit of rebellion in us, and that is where we get from our Father. When we're born again, when you ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins, then Spirit God comes in you, and it's indelibly with you. You're a branded earmark for the resurrection forever. Is that a good? That's good. That's what marks you for the resurrection. Otherwise, you're marked for damnation, aren't you? Now, God gave us a most very beautiful but deadly gift, and that's volition. What's volition?
Choice.
The choice of which way we go. Now, once we're born again, once we have the Spirit of God in us, there's nothing can separate us from God through the love of Jesus Christ. There's not possible. Does a child of God sin? Yes. Does the Spirit sin? That's in him. No. Not possible. That which is in us, it cannot sin. Our mind sins? Our body sins? But that indelible part of God that's in us does not sin. And that is what marks us for the resurrection. And I've said this a lot of times, a man may sin securely, but safely never. A saved man may sin securely, but safely never. Because if we sin and we go the wrong way, we get a spanking from God because we are His. Okay? If you're not born again, you don't get spankings from God because you're not His. And Satan is going to just push you around whichever way you can go the wrong way and give you a lot of good information and energy to do wrong things. And that's what Ephesians, the second chapter, says. For we kept on being, then, also, we, without a brain. That's what it literally says. Anos. Alpha on the front of a Greek word means a negative. It means not with a mind. Brainless, mindless. Okay? Unpersuaded, apathes. Here we have a negative on the front of that word. Patheo means to persuade, and here we are not persuaded. People out in the world, every person has the Spirit of God dealing with them sometime in their life. You're here tonight for a reason, because the Spirit of God is dealing with you. It is dealing with you to get you saved. If you're out there in China, the Philippines, Saudi Arabia, and all these places go, okay, with this sermon tonight is going to all those places. There are people out there that want to be built up in Christ, and other people are hearing the gospel for the first time. If you need to be saved, God will save you if you surrender your will to Him. But you can go the wrong way. You can go the wrong way. Children of God that are saved can go the wrong way too. You will never go to hell because of it, but you will suffer right now because of it. If you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. That's it. And we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is once for all and ever because Jesus Christ is the only one that will ever get you to heaven. That's it. No other reason. For then we kept on being senseless. Now, really, there's a lot of smart sinners out there in the world, aren't there? But are they spiritually smart? No. And then unpersuaded. There are people out there that have heard the gospel 1,000 times. Are they unpersuaded ones? People that have not responded? And then we're planomenoi. Planomenoi. Cindy, can you conjugate that and decline that, this verb noun marriage here?
Present passive
participle noun is plural masculine. Okay, it's nominative plural masculine. Nominative is what case, Megan? Nominative. In English, we have a couple of cases. We have the object and we have the subject. So what is this? What?
The subject?
This is the subject. There's nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative in Greek. There's 8 cases. In Sanskrit, there's 8 cases. In English, we have subject, object. Yeah. That's about it. In other languages, you have other... Do you like the grammar? All right. So this is... interesting you just a little bit, Dan?
Yeah.
All right. And here we have nominative plural. So this is a subject. We have present participle and it's passive. It's present participle, so that's a continuing thing. And what's the passive voice mean? What?
Something's
being done to you. All right. Something's been done to you. Let's look at this word. That word is planomenoi. The word planet in English comes from this word, planomenoi. Planet. What is a planet? What's a planet do with its spare time? What's a planet do? You know, the young man, you know what a planet does? How about it there, Pamela? What's a planet do? It stays in orbit. It stays in a pathway. If it doesn't, it's a wandering star, like they would call them wandering stars, or comets, or shooting stars, or falling stars. A planet stays on the pathway, in the road. But now here we have a word, planomenoi. We have been led astray. We are being led astray. Out of the pathway. By whom? By Satan. And our own lust. Then it says, douloontes. Douloontes. That comes from doulos. The noun form of this is doulos. The verb form is douleo. Or doulo. What is a doulo? Cindy, you remember what that the root of that word doulo means? What? It's absolute slave. It's bought and paid for. Bought and paid for. In America, there was slavery. The first slaves in America were American Indians. There were more American Indian slaves than there were black slaves, but they brought a lot of black people. Why did they bring the black slaves to America? Do you remember that, Pamela? Why did they bring them?
Because they were, they could do more than any other race group?
No.
No?
No.
Did they're easier to get because they
No. Why did they want black slaves in America? Why?
Easier to control.
No.
Identify.
No. Why did they do it? What?
They consider them subhuman.
They tried to prove that because Cain tried to use the mark of Cain on him, but that didn't work. But that's not the reason why they used them. Mm-hmm. My great 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 uncle, John Paul Jones. You've heard of him. John Paul Jones, the father of American Navy. That was my uncle from a long time ago. He was a slave. There were white slaves. What president did we have that was a former slave? What president did we have that was a former slave and he wasn't black? Who was he? What famous statesman in America was a former slave and he escaped? The one that escaped was Benjamin Franklin. The slave that became president was Andrew Johnson. And they were both white. Okay? Now, why did they use slaves in America? Cindy, you remember? Anopheles quadrimaculatus.
Malaria.
Malaria began in Africa. The slaves, the black people, were immune to malaria. When John Paul Jones, his name was John Paul, actually, he put Jones on it after he killed his first mate. He was a slave on a slave ship. His family indentured him for money to a slave shipping outfit. They went to Africa from Scotland, and they went over to Africa, and they would bring these black slaves. Well, the black slaves would bring with them, in their blood, was a parasite. A parasite. And when other mosquitoes would bite them, it would go into the gut of the mosquito, and then it would spread this Tresham fever to them that would just kill a lot of them. People that hadn't been exposed to malaria usually died of it. The black people were immune to it. The ship that my great-great-great-great-great uncle so many times ago commandeered from Africa to Scotland, all of the white sailors and the captain died from malaria on the way back. Okay? That Vivax infection. When he got there, they made him a captain because he had commandeered the ship. He went back a couple of times more to Africa, and he didn't like the slave trade, so he came to America. But the reason why he became captain, because everybody died from malaria. Now, the American Indians were dying by the thousands. At one time, there were 500 slaves and black slaves in America and 75,000 Indian slaves. And the Indian slaves were dying, blah, 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 blah. Dying from disease because they were the disease that were brought here by the white people. We didn't have any disease in this country. And then malaria. Malaria means mal-ara. What does that mean? Bad air. They thought, where is this bad air? That's what this happened. You're breathing this bad air. What it was is a Vivax infection in the gut of the mosquito, and it would go through your system in cycles. That's what we call Tresham fever. Okay? So that's why they used black people, because they lived. And they could live. It was not economic. They cost a lot of money. They were very rebellious in the beginning. They were using, and many of the statesmen in America George Washington tried them to get white slaves. People wanted to come to America. He said, well, indenture them for 7 or 8 years, and when they get here, they'll work for you like dogs. You won't have to fight with them. You don't have to deal with cross cultures. Just thank them and then turn them loose after 7 years, and they will work like mad because you're paying them a little bit and you give them their freedom, and maybe you have 1,000 acres and you give them 10 acres. And they'll work like mad for you. And the other ones you've got to take, these black people are taking off. They might kill you. They are the cross. You can't speak their language. Any of this, see? So the reason why they had black slaves was what? They were immune to malaria. And they lived. And in the South, they have these great big mansions up on a hill, don't they? Usually,
so the bad air
was down. They would live up here, and down here the mosquitoes in the lowlands. There was a reason for it. You can read many, many diaries of these white slave owners that died of a malaria because they didn't know what they were doing. They brought the infection with them when they brought their slaves. They killed them. We're also senseless and unpersuaded, being led astray by our slavery. Nominative, plural, masculine, present participle, active. Now, who wants to slave? Who wants to be a slave to sin? You do. If you're in it. If you're a lost person, you want to be. You think it's good for you, but it's not. God doesn't give you any prohibitions that are not good for you. All right. Slaving. And then we have epithemios. Epithemios. What does that epithemios mean? How do you break that word down, Roger? It means upon, page 153 and 54, if you want to write that down in your analytical Greek lexicon. It means over, and what does it do to a noun, Cindy? What does this epi do to a noun, or in, or hypo, or anything like that? What do these prepositions do to a noun? You remember what they do?
Exaggerates it.
They intensify it. Now, thermos, we got a word thermos out of that. Thermos does what? It holds heat in, or holds cold in, doesn't it? Well, this word lust means to hold it in, and it means to our upon lust, our powerful lust. We're held by our powerful lust. Chi, a little conjunction, right there, page 208. And then hedonis. What does hedonistic mean? Hedonistic. What's hedonistic mean? Hedonism.
Following your own pleasures.
Yeah, it means seeking your own pleasure, seeking lust. Okay? That's word hedonism comes from this Greek word hedones. And here it means sexual gratification, sensual pleasure, passion. Seeking self. Seeking pleasure. Seeking self-gratification. Gratification. Now, Titus 1:16, 2 Timothy 3:13 and 3:6, Romans 11:30, 6:6 and 12, 1:29, Colossians 3 and 7, Luke 8:14 and 2 Peter 2:13 and James 4 and 3 are all cross-referenced to this verse, okay? And then we have poikilios. Poikilios. That means various in English, but what does it really mean in Greek? Cindy, you remember what that means in Greek? Remember that one? How about it, Roger? What's this one mean in Greek? This poikilios.
I don't know.
Many-colored. Many-colored. What do you do when you have a bouquet of all different kinds of colors? You have a variation of colors, don't you? And there are many-colored sins. Many-colored evil. All different shades. In kakia. That word in there, that's preposition, page 137. And kakia. Tell me about the word kakia. You remember that one, Chuck? Kakia.
Well, it says here, Adamic evil.
Adamic nature. That's the Adamic evil. That's that lust in you. That's the natural lust of the flesh. What's the lust of the flesh wants you to do? Eat too much? It does all kinds of things. Chase somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife. Be mean, cheat, lie, steal. These are all things, isn't it? All the commandments. All of it is what? Basically what? Envy. Envy, envy. And in the commandments, it doesn't say, thou shalt not steal. What does it say in Hebrew, Brother Roger?
Don't keep on
stealing. You were a thief, but don't keep on stealing. And what about lying? Don't keep on lying. And then what it says, don't keep on committing adultery. Don't keep on deceiving. Don't keep on bearing false witness. In all the imperfect tense, because that's what we do. That's what we natively, naturally do in our kakia. In our native Adamic nature. And we get that where? From Daddy. Not from Mama, from Daddy. Mama may be a terrible sinner, but you didn't get it from her. You got it from Daddy. And then we have a conjunction again, page 208 in that analytical Greek grammar. And then we have the word phothono. 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 What about this phothono? That means to envy, to lust, to what? To envy, lust, to want something that is not yours. To want something that's somebody else's. Okay? Is it all the commandments? Were they breaking all the commandments in their natural state there in Crete? All Cretans are liars and thieves and robbers and con artists and everything. And then, diagnotes. That means that's nominative plural masculine present participle active again. So what does that mean? We're doing it all the time and constantly. We are wasting our lives, spending our lives, doing what? Doing all this. People spend their whole lives grabbing, stealing. In America, there were several men that were very ultra rich. Carnegie was one of them, Andrew Carnegie. And then we had John Rockefeller. Yeah. And who was the other one? J.B. Morgan, J.P. Morgan. These people were ultra moguls. J.P. Morgan didn't have a conscience. John Rockefeller was a Baptist. Ooh. A man killed thousands of people, grabbing and stealing and envy and cheating and lying. And then Rockefeller, and then Andrew Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie was a Presbyterian. Andrew Carnegie got such a bad conscience because he had killed so many people that he went to his pastor and said, "What can I do to make up for what I've done to this country?" He said, "Build libraries. Give free books to people so they can educate themselves at home." Okay? And he did. And then Rockefeller got envious of him and started trying to give away more money than he did. Carnegie sold all of his investments and liquefied them in and began to give this away in schools and colleges and education to get people out of that caste system. We had a caste system in America. We had a caste system. Well, Rockefeller just followed along to write on his church sale. We have the Rockefeller Foundation, don't we? All of this. Spending our lives, rubbing, just spreading our lives around, living it up. That's what they say, living it up. Maybe we're living it down, aren't we? Living it down? Living down there with the dogs and the rats and the mice and all of that. Grab and steal, and the biggest rat gets it all, doesn't he? Biggest dog gets it all. And then it was stigatoi. Stigatoi. That means to detest. You detest anybody that you come to. You just hate everybody. You detest everybody. You don't like their looks. You don't like them. You don't like what color they are. They don't like how they talk. You don't like their accent. You don't like their language or something. That means you just hate everybody. Detest. Going through life detesting. And then we have the word misontes. Misontes. Now let's look at that one. Megan, have you got it figured out? How can you conjugate and decline that one? How about there, Chuck? Conjugate and decline that one. I know Cindy can. Cindy. That's misontes.
Yeah, nominative, plural, masculine, present, active, participle.
All right, present, participle, active. Is nominative, plural, masculine. So here we have the subject. And we're doing this with a passion. We're hating with a passion. We're hating with a supercharger on. Okay, in a modern car, fuel-injected hating. Supercharged hating. Hating with a passion. Nitrous oxide. This is all the things to do supercar up. Well, to soup our sins up, we do all of this. And then it was allelus. 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 That means one another. The natural result of hate is what? Murder. Murder. What was the first murder in the Bible?
The animal to cover the skin. Are you talking about?
What was the first murder in the Bible?
Human being.
Cain killed Abel.
Yeah.
Why did he kill Abel? Because he hated him. He was jealous of him. He envied him. All right, 3 and verse 4. Hote de he Chris statotes kai he philanthropia. Epiphane tu soteros hemon theu. Let's go back and look at this thing. What is this first little thing there, Cindy? You know what that one is? Roger, no, you're not free yet. You're getting the next one. All right, so this study up that name. Hote, what about that one? What kind of an element is this? It's an adverb of time, so it's talking about, it's an adverb relating to time, and it says when we continued to do this. All right, when. But we have a weak adversity conjunctive particle here. That's day. Roger, what kind of idea is that, day? Weak adversity conjunctive particle. It can be what? Moreover, and, or but. Right here, it means but. But when, hey, charistetes. We get the word Christ from this word. Okay? What about this word, Pamela? What about this word, charistetes? Charistetos. It's kindness. It's a rare word. It's a very rare word. Okay? It means loving kindness. There was a Hebrew word. This comes from that word, loving kindness. Jesus in the Old Testament is called the man of loving kindness. The man of loving kindness. The man of mercy. But the mercy, the loving kindness, and the philanthropia. What in word in English comes from this word, philanthropia? Just like it in it. Damon, that's philanthropy. Philanthropy. What does philanthropy mean? We talk about Andrew Carnegie being a philanthropist, about John Rockefeller being a philanthropist. But they were man-haters first. They were killers. When Carnegie came home from Scotland, he had such a bad conscience. He had hired this terrible, cutthroat, bad man to manage his steel business, and he went on doing this and killing people and doing things like they did. People were maimed and killed every day in his business, and he sat back like he was not part of it. And finally, the conscience of God got him so bad that he sold the whole place out. He couldn't stand it any longer because he was a master of murder to get what he got. And then he began trying to give it back. And he became a philanthropist. Men lovers. To love mankind. Okay? Back at this period of time, you have to look back in Carnegie's and Rockefeller's and Morgan's time. Education was the thing that kept you, lack of it, what kept you a slave. A child, by the time he was 5 years old, was working in some slave, in slum, a white child. Okay, we're talking about white society right now. But how many different kinds of what we might call immigrants did we have in this country?
Tons of Irish.
Tons of Irish. Tons of Scottish.
Mm-hmm. Italians.
German. Lithuanian. Mm-hmm. Russian. All of these people came here. And they all brought them here to do why? Why did big business bring them here? To keep labor down. To keep labor down, because they were slaves also. And their children would have to go to work when they were 5 or 6 years old. Why did Baptists start Sunday schools? Cindy? Instead of going to work, they would take the kids and educate them to read and write the Bible. That's Sunday school. That's what they did. So they could get out of the sweatshops, so they could get out of the terrible, the meat factories, the meat plants, the slaughterhouses, shoveling blood and guts and everything. Little kids doing these things. Being in very dangerous places. If they were strong enough, they put them in stronger places. Otherwise, they did very menial tasks, sweeping and doing, and they did this. They were in the loom, in the clothing industry. Whatever they were doing, they were in this industry. America was a place of slaves at one time. A place of slaves. All kinds of slavery. And it says, but with the kindness, the mercy, and the philanthropy, it appeared. Now let's look at this word, epiphania. Epiphany. Roger, epiphany. Tell me what it's made up of.
It's first person singular, second passive indicative.
Okay, now tell me how that word's made up. Tell me the roots of that word, the prefixes, and the root.
Okay, so
you
got epi
on the front. What's epi do? Intensifies the verb. Okay. Okay, it's passive voice. What does that do, Megan? Passive voice?
Something's done to you.
Something's done to you. Okay. And we have second aorist. What does second aorist mean, Cindy?
It's not. It's immediate, but not.
It is punctiliar, but not sharp punctiliar. First aorist is knife blade action, like a knife blade, like a razor blade knife. Second aorist is a little bit durative on top of that, but it is aorist tense. It's punctiliar in action. Now, how did this happen? And it appeared. Actually, he appeared. That's how it should be. He appeared. Who he? He appeared. It means he shined forth. He shined upon. That's what it literally says. He shined upon the Savior to Soteros. Soteros. It comes from soso in the as the verb. Soso means what? Cindy, you remember what soso means? It means to save. I save. Jesus is our Savior. He's our only Savior. Our only Savior. The Savior of us, God. God, our Savior, appeared to us in the Incarnation. John 1:14, Cindy. John 1:14 in Greek.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kaiologos sarx agenito. And the Word flesh he became. That's what it says. But the word ho logos there is from a Hebraism, which means what? Chuck? Ho logos comes from the Hebrew what? Pama. The Hebrew for ho logos is what? Roger. Hadavar. That means the word. Now, why did they use the word Hadavar? Exodus 20 and verse 7 says what? Exodus 20 and verse 7. Who's got Exodus 20 and verse 7? Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for he will require it of you. You will not be guiltless. So they would never speak the name, the personal name of God again, which is Jehovah, as we say it, which is a total misnomer, because we know how to say it. That's the word Yahweh or whatever they want to say, but it is not Yahweh, because then we have vowels to do that. We have no vowels in it because they would not point it, because they would not say it. They were afraid to say it. So they said, Hadavar, the word, or Hashem, the name. So in John's Gospel, in John 1:14, it says, Kaihologos arx agenito, it says, and the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we behold the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, for no man has seen God at any time, for no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being, present tense always, in the bosom of the Father, inseparable from the Father, that one has led himself out. And that is our Savior. Everybody in every religion has a Savior or a way to get to God, don't they? What's God's way to get to God? God. God paid your way. He paid your way. He paid for your sins. He paid for all of your shortcomings. All you have to do is what? Look and believe. Jesus said, I'm a type, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. What's that tell us? What happened back then, Chuck?
Well, when the snakes were biting, they were
the
dying.
Snakes were biting people and they were killing people. And what did Moses do?
Well, I don't know if it was gold. I think it was gold.
No, it's brass. A brass
serpent.
He made a brass serpent and put it on a pole.
If you got bit, all you had to do was look at it.
If you got bit, the antidote was just look at that. We must look at Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. He is our only Savior. Everybody's got, you have to outweigh your good works. Your good works have to outweigh your bad works, etc., etc., etc. If you're Catholic, you got to say so many, you got to do what? You have to sell a whole bunch of Hail Marys and pay up or something, or if you're going to go up. Okay? And still, you got to go to purgatory anyway, don't you? And in the Muslim world, everybody's got to go to hell first, according to Muslim. Every Muslim, when he dies, got to go to hell to purge himself out of all his bad stuff. Okay? That's what that. How is the only way that a Muslim can get to heaven? Directly to paradise. Dying in jihad. Dying in jihad. If you die killing somebody from Muhammad, bringing the world into Islam, you get to go directly to heaven. And what else? Besides going to heaven, if you're a man, you get 72 virgins to wait on your hand and foot. What else?
You get a raw deal.
Yeah.
What else? You get to be intercessor for 70 people of your family. You get to take 70. If you die in jihad, you know, if you blow yourself up or whatever you do, dying in jihad, you get to take 70 people to heaven with you. You get to be intercessor for them. Now, this is how you get to heaven. In the Bible, how do you get to heaven? What does God say his procurement of heaven is for you? Mormonism. You got to outweigh your good deeds, have to weigh out your bad ones. If you're a Jehovah Witness, you got to witness all the time. Okay? If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you got to go to church on Saturday. Otherwise, you're taking the mark of the beast. That's going to church on Sunday. Well, we're on church on Wednesday night here, see. We're having a little ecclesia right here. We're okay, see.
As long as it's not on Sunday.
Yeah. As long as we don't go to church on Sunday, according to Seventh-day Adventurism. We see all of this. But Jesus said, come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden. Heavy laden with what? Religious. Religion.
Yes. Comment on what you were saying about jihad. There's also the other idea, you know, with God rising in 3 days. There's also, when someone passes, a lot of people get together, family, friends, you name it, and they will read and recite the Quran in hoping to push that person up to heaven.
Yes.
And so they will do that, and they'll try to do it, and that's come. They also try to bury them within the third day or 3 days.
Yes.
Because it's all connected, even though they don't. And you know, that's
even though they know what happened with Jesus, or
doing. Yeah, I mean, it's all still connected to that whole idea, even though they don't recognize who he is. There's a lot of those connections. That's come one of the reasons why I had so many questions as to.
When you became a Christian.
Believing him,
yeah.
If there's all these evidences leading to this certain aspect of it. But I, because my mom passed away about 2 years now, and I remember them doing that, and it was hard for me because I don't believe that. But, I mean, I was present because that's what they needed from me.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was kind of interesting, and I just thought, I mean, I remember just a moment I thought I had kind of failed that I didn't help reach her, save her before she passed away. But you know, and then they'll do it 10 days, and then they'll do it in within the month, and then it's up to them. But for the, it's within the first 3 days, as much as you can recite, you do it in the, again, try to push them up to heaven.
Yeah.
But it's still their deeds, more their deeds. It's like,
yeah,
like
it's their deeds.
It's small,
but if you die in jihad, what do you do? You have a celebration.
You got a free ticket.
Yeah, you got a free ticket. If you die killing somebody, you get a free ticket. And they don't mourn at all. They celebrate. And they feast.
But it is specified, which a lot of people are misled on that too, in the sense of what is considered jihad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they call it struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, struggle.
Right, but I'm, yeah.
That's so. Struggle. All right. See in verse 3 and verse 5. We have an expert in that right there, young lady. And your name means what? You told me what your name meant.
Oh, mine?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. It's a position in a prayer. So
it's a position in prayer.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Kneeling.
Yes.
Yes, that's what your name means, kneeling. Uk ek ergon, ton en dikaiosune. You like that word, don't you, Cindy? Ha? Ha? That's what it is. Epoi samen. Hemes. Allah. Kata. To autu. Ilios. Esose. Himas, dia, lutru, palig, paling, genesis, yes, that is. Kai, ana kai nosios, numatos hagiu. Not out of the works in righteousness that we did. We don't have any, we can't take our works to heaven with us. It's done. It's left here. Our works stay behind that we did. All right? A works of righteousness, any works of righteousness that you do is left behind. It says in Ephesians 2 and 8, and from the Greek, it says, for in grace you are having been saved through faith, not out of you, not of works, lest anything should boast, for we are created into good works. God, we should do good works after we're saved, but we don't get saved by them at all. There's nothing you can do to go to heaven. There's nothing you can do to go to heaven, according to God's prescription from His Bible.
I have a question.
Yes.
I understood that we, our
righteous, we get a crown based on our judge at the judgment time, and it's delayed at his feet.
Yes.
Is that, that's not...
We what we do after we're saved is on debt.
Yes.
God owes us a debt.
Mm-hmm.
But salvation has nothing to do with us. What we do for Christ after we're saved is a debt. He owes us what we do after you're saved. But salvation is 100% of God only.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Some people really serve the Lord with great zeal and everything, and some people just lay back and just let it go on.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are actually serving the Lord and doing things, I'm looking over my glasses because these are for reading and that's for looking, okay? people that really serve the Lord will get paid for it. It's a debt. You will get a crown or rewards in heaven. And how you do it and for what reason you do it, you'll get a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it wrongly, your reward will burn up. Poof. Okay? Not of the righteous deeds that we did. Look at that. First person, first error is indicative active. We did it for ourselves. First error is punctiliar action. After we lived our life, it's looked at one point of time. That's what we did. And then he says, but we, Allah, and that's not Allah about, like in the Quran, okay? Let's say Quran. But according to, of him, his mercy. We're saved by mercy. He saved. He saved us. God saved us. That's third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. He saved us. God saved us. He did it. Us through the washing. Washing what? Loosing away. What do you do when you wash something? You get the dirt out of it. We're not talking about baptism here. We're talking about loosing our sin from us. Loosing our guilt of sin from us. And then it says, Paul, langenesias. What about that word, Cindy? Paulin means what? Pauline. On the front of it. That means again, doesn't it? Pauline, again. All right. Pauline and the genesis. That word genesis comes. What's that mean? Being begat again. Being born again. Being born again. Being generated again. And anakanasios. That means renewed. Made again new. We're made in the world. The first time we're born into this world, we're born into sin and we're born damned. When we're born again, we're born from above. The first time you're born from your father of the earth. The second time you're born from your father of heaven. So we're born up, we're born down the first time, and some people are never born up at all. And then they get to go to the wrong place because they haven't been born from above. And a renovation of the Spirit holy. Of the Spirit holy. Spirit holy. The Spirit holy. Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 1 says, Barashith bara Elohim etzashamayim v'etzahar. We horas. Hatiatohu wabohu. We hoshuk el panei tohom. We ruah Elohim. El panei hamayim. Now let's go back and look at that. In one of the beginnings, God had created the heavens and the earth, and the earth, she had become formless and void. And Spirit God, Meripachet, suffered over, mourned over the faces of the deep. The faces of the deep. The faces of destruction. Every one of us were destroyed by our birth when we were born into this world. And Spirit God suffers over and wants to lead you to Him. He's suffering over and mourning over you. And your heart gets troubled, and you know that you're not all right with God now, that you know better. And you ask God to save your soul, and maybe you're weeping because of you have rejected Him. Nobody goes to hell because of their sin. You go to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ, God's offer of salvation. Not one Muslim will go to hell because of their sins. Not one Catholic will go to hell because of their sins. Not one Jehovah's Witness, not one Mormon. Not one Baptist, not one Pentecostal will go to hell because of their sin. They'll go to hell because they rejected God's offer of salvation, soteriology, through Jesus Christus, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of us. Eloheinu. That's in the genitive case, isn't it, Brother Roger? Eloheinu? Our God. Is God your God or is He your enemy? Is He? Is He in the objective case or in the genitive case? Is He yours and you're His? Or is He your enemy? It's one or the other. One or the other. One or the other. Do you have any questions?
I was just curious. If they die, and they're not Christians, where do they go?
If what?
If children die, they're young children, they're, you know, they pass, they die. If they're not Christian, raised in a Christian family, where do they go?
Well, you know, God is merciful, isn't He? Mm-hmm. He's a God of mercy. Before you come to the age of accountability, Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Okay, now I could go through, I did a sermon of about how much, Cindy, you were there when I did that sermon, about all the children that die and they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ until they come to the age of accountability. Every person that is not, does not have their facilities, that does not know right from wrong, they get to go to heaven. Now, how merciful is God that? Look at how many little children die all over the world every day. Guess where they're going? God is populating heaven. Yes.
What about the adults who don't know the gospel, aren't rejecting God, they just don't know Him? Where do they go?
I think the Spirit God leads everybody to the Lord. They've heard the gospel so many times. They have rejected it. Religions reject it, and sometimes religions damn people because of that. Is Islam a religion of freedom?
No.
No. Does Islam allow the gospel in the lands where they are in control? No. So what are they doing? They're damning people. Mm-hmm. They're damning people. All the children that die under the age of accountability are safe. They get to go to heaven. When the rapture comes, just think about the rapture. We believe in the rapture. Here's the church age we live in, and we're at the end of it. We know we're at the end of it. In the beginning of it, Israel was scattered all over the world, wasn't she? Scattered because of her sin, because of rejecting Messiah and rejecting the kingdom. They said, let His blood be upon us and our children. And it is. It was. And then we find out in the last days God is going to regather Israel. So we've seen that. Because God is going to, He's going to honor two covenants. Cindy, you know what those two covenants are? The Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant. And He's going to do it with Israel. Now, Jesus, according to the Bible, is going to come back and save Israel in it. And He's going to do what? He's going to bring in His millennium, and there are going to be rulers on this earth, and they're going to be administrators of His kingdom for 1,000 years. Kilia, Eter, or Millennium, Latin. Now, Islam's Issa. What's he going to do?
He's going to kill all the Jews.
He's going to kill all the Jews, and then he's going to kill all the Christians and break all other religions, break the cross, and bring in Islam. That's eschatology. That's what ISIS is doing today. Okay, that's what they're doing. That's what the deal. The Bible has the Antichrist. It has the beast and the false prophet. Islam has the Mahdi. It has the beast and the false Jesus.
Which probably the false prophet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's going to do exactly opposite of what the Bible says. Exactly opposite.
The Mahdi will be the Antichrist.
The Mahdi will be the what? What is he called?
The Mahdi. Mahdi?
Mahdi Iman? Iman Mahdi?
I know it by different, so I'm not sure if it's a
yeah. Okay. This is the chosen one. He is going to be 40 years old when he begins to rule. He's going to be a reluctant leader. They will swear allegiance behind him. The beast will come. He will come out of Syria area, according to the Quran. And the beast is going to come out of where? Near Mecca, Arabia. Okay? And he's going to come forth. He's going to be a weird-looking thing. He's going to have the head of the bull, the horns of a stag, the ears of an elephant, the eyes of a pig, the neck of a giraffe, the front part of his body of a lion, the back part of his body of a cat, the color of a leopard, and the legs of a camel, and 20 feet between the joints, and the tail of a ram. And he's going to mark all true believers of Islam with what? The logo. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. What do the jihadists do today? There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. So many people... What? It's on the banner.
On the banner. On the church.
It's everywhere. There is no God but Allah. And he has no companion.
And it says that in the dome of the rock. In Jerusalem. It has that written on.
I've been in the mosque.
It's a very common verse you'll see just about anywhere.
That's the declaration of faith. It is their logo. It is their authority. Okay. When you repeat that in Arabic, if somebody witnesses it, you become Islamic.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah,
they do it three times.
Everything three times. I divorce you three times. And then same thing with there is no God but Allah. He has no companion. And Muhammad is his prophet.
Which I still know that by heart.
Yeah. All right. Did you learn something tonight? Do you have any questions? Go online and you can listen to thousands of these sermons just like this. And this will go all over the world. Thank you for all coming out here so far tonight. And if you want chocolate cake, there's chocolate cake over there, more iced tea or whatever you want, and a little fellowship after, whatever. Anything else? Any other questions? Interrogatio. Megan?
Did you have a question?
Mark? I did, but not really for the tape because it didn't really have to do. But I guess you added it. When I was in your office, I saw a CD, and it said something about the lack of authority of the Quran. I don't know if I got that right.
Oh, the infallibility of the Quran.
Infallibility issue. I was just curious.
Yeah, that's a whole thing that goes through the Quran and look at the science and historical background that is incorrect in the Quran.
Okay, to use a bad metaphor, kind of like a higher criticism of the Quran. I'm not really mean that because you get killed if you do that in Islam. But
if you do that there, if you criticize the Quran, you're dead.
Yeah.
Any Islamic country, you're dead if you have any other religion or criticize the Quran or Muhammad.
Or to ask any questions.
If you question the Quran, you're dead. You're dead. Okay. Well, the Bible, the infallibility of the Bible, is the Bible in the original language infallible? Is the Bible inspired in the original language? It's not the translation, but in the original language. Is it inspired? Absolutely. Do we believe it, tense, mode, and voice? And
I got a quick question.
Yes.
How many times is God mentioned in the Bible overall? I was just curious.
I have no idea right now.
Like in the Quran, 786 times. Allah is mentioned.
Yeah.
So I was just curious if...
Elohim, there are the titles of...
Curious.
The title of Jesus, if you go to my website, on the front of it, it'll say the names of God.
Okay.
And it'll have the titles of Jesus. That, you know, Jehovah, Roeh.
Right, right.
And what does Jehovah mean? He who shall become. John 1:14 is the fulfillment of that. And what does the name Jesus mean? Jehovah saves. Because he did, didn't he?
Right.
It's beautiful. The names of God are beautiful. Allah has how many?
Someone has the number.
There are, 99 names of God, titles of God in the Quran? Okay. The Bible has many, many, many.
Right.
And most of those names in the Quran are actually duplications of the titles of God in the Bible.
Right.
And many times Muhammad attributes those names and those attributes to himself. Okay.
Well, one way I laugh, especially when you look at the hadith, that Muhammad is more divine than Jesus Christ is. Because Muhammad was the best horse rider who ever rode a horse. He's the best lover who ever loved.
But
the
everybody
best.
Doesn't no, believe no, in
no,
as much.
I know. I'm just saying.
The best man who ever lived.
We went to a wedding, and someone accidentally made a joke about Muhammad and his wife. And you should have seen him trying to cover because, you know the banter that a husband and a wife will have, but he said it in such a way that Muhammad didn't seem perfect anymore. Mm-hmm. And boy, he was trying to backtrack it out of that one because it sounded like he might have said something negative. It wasn't. He was, he just normal. But I always see when I'm looking at the hadith that Muhammad is more divine in many ways. I don't think that Jesus was the best stonework.
Well, Muhammad takes all the thunder out of Jesus. Yeah. He takes all the attributes of Jesus and applies it to himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think it was, I think it is a demon, literally a demon-inspired religion to cut at Christianity. It's aimed straight at the heart.
It's aimed at Jesus.
Yeah. It's aimed at
he wants me talking along in the Quran. If you read the Quran, which I have read it many times, it'll say, he'll say that the sky is blue and Jesus is not the Son of God. I mean, like this. He'll go on, more or less, you know. And the fish in the sea, the flowers and rain falls in heaven, and Jesus is not the Son of God. This is totally out of context because Muhammad is trying to take the deity away from Jesus. Okay?
Well, that's why some of the Islamics, the true ones as well, like with my family growing up, hadith is a secondary resource.
Yeah.
That's built in.
You have
the way I also understood it is if there's something vague in the Quran, say words, then you could use that as a resource to kind of get an idea of what they meant, maybe.
Yeah. Look,
for an example, the covering. What does covering mean to one person? Well, you go in there, for some it's that whole burqa idea, for some it was just a matter of, you know, the skin. So it was the idea of what is modesty mean even now here in our society, you know. Yeah. So it was like a reference the way I was raised.
The hadith
is like a book, a living of Muhammad.
Okay. The Quran is actually, they say, the absolute words of God. The hadith is what is the tradition that were handed down.
Okay.
And the sunnah,
right,
as you see all of this, is what he did, what he said, and what he did. Okay. And you cannot understand the Quran by itself, they say. No way can you understand the Quran. It's unbelievable. You don't know what it says. The Hadith and the Sunnah has to tell you what the Quran says.
And it's in Arabic, so if you don't truly speak Arabic or say it, mm-hmm, pronounce it quite the same way, you're losing the meaning. Mm-hmm. And therefore, like being from Pakistan, like he was saying with that, speaking of one God and Muhammad, which, you know, I still have it, but mine's not 100% Arabic. With the accent and stuff. So, you know, okay, some of them will look at it like, you know. Okay,
well, it was the Quran was supposed to have been written in pure Arabic, but was there pure Arabic?
So,
no.
Right. And it was told through an angel to a prophet who wrote it in the Quran. Right?
Well, the prophet didn't write it.
Who translated to someone else who actually wrote it?
Yeah, when you look at the Quran, if you want to really understand the Quran, if you want to understand the life of Muhammad, get The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. And it'll tell you every revelation that came down to him and why. Somebody insulted him, so he got a revelation. He wanted somebody's wife, so he got a revelation.
He
justified with the Quran everything he did, and everybody killed.
That's all. He just destroyed his life. And he kind of, he made it kind of like more of a sex as he would, you know, with everything else.
Sex and violence. Sex and violence. That's pretty much summed up in Islam.
What is it?
Sex and violence.
Sex and violence, yes. That's it.
Yet.
You only have peace when you surrender. All right. Are you ready to go out? Go out and do something eternal.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here. Megan, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we just thank you.